Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight for these people who came out to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, for their hearts are hungry to be closer to you, to learn more about your heart, and to be submissive to your each and every word that you speak into their lives. And I'm asking you tonight, Father God, to do something special for this group of people. They're the faithful ones that come out every service. They're the faithful ones, Father God, that are doing everything they know to do to be in your perfect will. So, Father, bless them abundantly. Let your angelic hosts be running to and fro throughout the chairs right now, ministering to each and every need. Let your Holy Spirit, Father God, be moving. Let your perfect will be done. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God wants to teach us about he's more than enough tonight. He's more than enough. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. See that? God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more. Why? So that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is as the scriptures say, the godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you much so that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. God wants us to have more than we need. Why? So we can give into others' bosoms. I was reading an article this afternoon where the songwriter, he was a young guy, he was in a grocery store, and this young African-American walked up to him as he was leaving and said, could I do something, carry your groceries out or do something for you for you in return to give me something to eat? Well, the man was so taken back by the young man, and long story short, the young man was living with his mother, who was disabled, who was living on Social Security, and they had absolutely nothing, not even beds to lay on. They lived in an old run-down home that had nothing in it. And this songwriter, who had nothing himself, he was a Christian, and he said the Bible just said to help those in need. And so he started GoFund or something like that, and GoFundMe or whatever it is, and long story short, the young man and his mother ended up with $340,000, and people gave them clothes and made sure that the boy had a college fund and on. But the young man, the young songwriter said, I'm just a Christian who follows the word, and I don't have much myself. And as they checked out on the songwriter, they found out that this young man wasn't the only young man he helped by doing this, you know, to GoFundMe and everything. He had helped many other young people. And there was an elderly man he saw in an alley collecting cans and jars. And it was a grandfather, and he had four daughters and a couple grandchildren. And he was out every day picking up these cans so he could feed those children and himself. So he helped him. And he ended up with a lot of money, too. But the young boy, they put it in a trust fund. So, of course, you know, nobody wants to help you. Relatives don't want to help you when you don't have nothing. But as soon as they found out he had all this money, they were all knocking on the door, why don't you help me? But anyhow, so they got a lawyer and put his money in a trust fund. So God, even though that young songwriter didn't have money to give the boy, he used his God to supply that boy's needs. And this is what he gave God the credit. He said, I didn't have it, but I know somebody that does, and that's my God. And he could supply that boy's needs, and the boy's needs were met. And I just want you to hold on to that, because the Bible says that you should take care of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. So you're not only supposed to have enough for your own children, but for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I didn't write that scripture down, but I ran across it, and I know it. And this is why I do what I do, because I say, God, your word tells me that I'm supposed to take care of not only my children, but the grandchildren too. I'm supposed to have more than enough. We're not supposed to heap it to our own bosoms, but we're supposed to freely give out. So our God is a God of more than enough. He can supply our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God said, "Heaven's storehouses never runs dry. Whatever you have need of is stored up in these heavenly storehouses. I so desperately want you to ask so I can give. I listen intently every second, but I hear nothing. But what I do hear is complaining because you do not have enough, and that makes me so sad, for all you have need of is at your disposal 24/7. God says, come, let us reason together this night. Let us look at this problem from the heavenly perspective. Let's look at this from the point of a king that desires to give to his children, but his children never ask or receive. Now let's stop there. When I was first born again, I read or heard many testimonies of where people went to heaven and they saw these storehouses. There was everything in there you would ever need, including arms, legs, eyes, you know, furniture, anything you ever need was in God's storehouses. And when they were up there, the holy angels told them that this stuff is in the storehouses, but God's people never ask for it, and so they never get it. All right? Now, God's not going to give for greed. But if you really have a need, God knows your need, and he's going to supply that need. And John 10:10 tells us that, this is what God said, John 10:10 tells you that I have come to give you life and more abundantly. And John 10:10 says, a thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Not only have life, but have life more abundantly. Every house that Brother Allen paints, if there's anybody living there, they should see him as a person that has more than enough. They should never hear him, and I don't think he does it. They should never hear him complaining that he has a need. They should look at him and just think he's really prosperous in God. All right? Jude 1:1 tells you, God says, Jude 1:1 tells you, mercy, peace, and love is multiplied to you. So Jude 1 says, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love will be multiplied to you. Now, in the Word, it tells you that not everybody is called. And so we have to understand that. Not everybody is going to receive Jesus Christ. That's been determined at birth. And I studied that at length the other night. And I've known this, but people do not understand it. They think that everybody is called and everybody is chosen, but that's not true. And God said, to those who are called and sanctified by God or chosen by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, are you a called one? Every one of you should say, yeah, because you are. You're God's child, so therefore you can stand on that scripture. God, I'm called by you, I'm sanctified by you, so you are multiplying peace, mercy, peace, and love to me every second of every day. All right? Don't allow the enemy to steal that from you. And Psalm 23 tells you, this is what God spoke, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And how many of you really believe that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Every time I have a need, just like my finances right now, I have to get it, my taxes paid. And I don't know how I'm going to fare on Monday. But I say, God, You are my provider. You always tell me you're my provider. You have to pray, make a way for me, provide a way for me out of this mess that I'm in, that I didn't make. Amen. He's my provider. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to fall apart because he's my provider and he will provide. How, I don't know, but he's going to make a way. And verse 2 said, David said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes you lay down and rest, and he leads you beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See what he says there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. And we get down in our little valleys, you know, when the enemy takes us down in there. David said, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Your enemies want to see you fall, but they see you being blessed by God. All right? And then he said, you anoint my head with oil. God does anoint your head with oil, whether you want to believe it or not, he does. He anointed my head with oil one night when I was standing out on my back porch. And I said, God, what is that? And he said, that's the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. But he did it. I didn't. Nobody else did it. He did it. And then David said, my cup runs over. In other words, David said, I have everything I need, and I have enough to give into others' bosoms. And then David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. God will be with you all the days of your life. You need to take that scripture. You need to sit and meditate on it and see. David knew his God. David knew what God did for him. And David was writing a psalm about it. He was a great songwriter. If you ever notice some of these songs they're singing now, they're really singing about what God has done in their life. And so as you hear what their God has done in their life, then you know what God can will do the very same thing for you, because he's no respecter of persons. You need to listen to some of these songs that are out right now. They're good, and they're very informative of what God is doing for you, and how he's destroying your enemies, how he's strengthening you to be a warrior in Christ. You need to listen to uplifting things and not this dumb junk that the world puts out there. That would do nothing but jumble your nerves. Now, 2 Corinthians, God says, 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells you about my grace. And so 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound, all grace toward you. Why? That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. All. I like it when I read all, because I mean that I know that means everything that's going on in my life, God has it covered. He's more than enough. You know, as you walk with God, you know, as your walk gets older with God, you start realizing things in ways you never realized them before. And you start realizing, as you look back, you realize where you were and some of the messes you made in your own lives, yourself, and you realize what God has done to you and for you and how he brought you forth. And that's what your testimony is. I was a mess, but look what my God did for me. And then give your testimony of how, where you were at and the dumb things you did, and then how God brought you through. And you will encourage other people. Do you know there's a lot of people out there that are really discouraged right now? I mean, most of America is discouraged right now. But your simple little testimony, you think it doesn't mean anything, it'll move somebody. It will encourage somebody. It'll bring somebody hope. And you need to let them know that your God is your supplier, that your God is more than enough for you, and you don't have to go around begging or anything else, because God can supply your need. Deuteronomy 30. This is God gave me these scriptures, and that's why I have it in green. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 tells you that I will bless you in every area of your life. And Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 says, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand. Make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. Then God said, I will do all of this, but you must also do verse 10. You must do verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, then he's going to do what he said in verse 9. So you can't be willy-nilly around with God. You can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Your mind can't be, you know, on everything that's going on in the world and everything, and then some of the things that are going on in the church. You have to be totally and completely sold out to God. Amen. Brother Allen said to me the other day, he said, I sold out to God. He just didn't do it. But when he sold out totally and completely to God, God really opened doors and started blessing, right? But he had to totally and completely sell out to God. And you might think, well, I've already sold out to God. But you know, have you really? I've thought a couple times there's nothing else I could possibly do to be sold out to God, but God let me see there was. So I gave him that. And I gave him that. And I gave him that till finally I had given him everything he wanted. We have to be totally and completely sold out to God. Then every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will fall upon you. God says, if you will follow my commandments and my word, I will always be more than enough in every area of your life. You hear that? If you will follow my commandments and my word, I will always be more than enough in every area of your life. Not just at one morning a week, not just at lunchtime, but always, always. And see, you're going to have to keep your mind stayed on Christ for this to happen. You're going to have to be constantly, you know, talking to your Father all day about different things in your life. And then he will come and he'll speak to you and he'll give you guidance and direction. God said to Paul states in 2 Corinthians 3:5 that their sufficiency is from God. As 2 Corinthians 3:5 tells us, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. A lot of people said, I made myself a millionaire. No, you didn't. God was there and God intervened and God made things happen for you. God said, I am your sufficiency if you allow me to be, if you allow me to be. I am your all in all, and I have all that you have need of, and there is no lack in me. Hear that? I am your all in all, and I have all that you have need of, and there is no lack in me. Now, I want to stop there. Because God said I was healed, right? He said, now I had to make my body come into subjection. And I was sitting the other day at my desk and I was praying about this. And because I see more and more signs of things happening. And I just looked up for no reason at all. And there was this book about taking your request to the courtrooms of heaven. And God said, you haven't brought this situation to the courtroom as of yet. And when you do, you're going to see results. See how God, awesome God is. See how he works. Then I was reading in the Bible I think it was a lame man. Somebody in the Bible anyhow had been sick for years and years. And Jesus had went by this person many, many times, but this person was never healed. I can't remember if it's a he or she. But Peter went by this person, and he was healed by Peter's shadow. And then I read a comment at the bottom of the Bible verse that I was studying. It said, it was not the time for this person to be healed when Jesus walked by, but when Peter walked by, it was perfect timing for his healing. So you, what I'm saying here is you might get somebody to pray for you for a situation and nothing happens. It's not that person's fault. It's just not the perfect time that God wanted that thing to happen. And then maybe 2 months down the road, somebody just comes up to you and says something to you, and this thing's all straightened out. That was a perfect time for God to do what he's going to do. So don't get discouraged if what you're asking God does not happen right then, because God knows the perfect timing, and God also knows when he does something, he has to do something to you in a certain way and at a certain time so that he gets the glory. All right? God said, why do you scramble around trying to make it when I am right here waiting to bless and not curse? Why is it that you will not place your trust in me and wait for me to come through in every area of your lives? Read that again. Question to you. Why do you scramble around trying to make it when I am right here waiting to bless and not curse? Why is it that you will not place your trust in me and wait for me to come through in every area of your lives? Remember the story that Kenneth Copeland, I don't remember the amount, I'll just say $2,000, it was more than that. And God said, don't worry, son, that bill, I will pay that bill. Well, the time came for the bill to be due and there wasn't no money. And so Kenneth Copeland did not get excited about it. He said, God, you know where that money's at. Just get it to me. And a week later, this man called Kenneth Copeland and said, Kenneth, I am so sorry. God told me 2 weeks ago to send you this check for this amount. It was the same amount that he needed. He said, and I forgot. And he nudged me yesterday. He said, I had to get it in the mail. It's in the mail to you right now. See, so God didn't have anything to do with that. The man forgot. God had already told the man. I mean, what I'm saying is God didn't have anything to do with the man not receiving, Kenneth Copeland receiving it on the right time. The man forgot. So because Kenneth didn't get all excited with God and just told God, you know where the money's at. I'm just waiting for it. Then God told that man, get that check sent. And he said, God told him, you get that check sent right now. And so he sent the money in and got, it was a large bill. I know that. So you see what, you know, I read things like this. And that encourages me. It uplifts me. And then that it makes me understand more why things aren't going in my life the way they should be going or the way I think they should be going. And we just have to keep trusting God. He will supply. He really will supply. Then God says, I am El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. When you come to the place where I am all you have, you will find that I am all you need. I am more than enough. I am El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. When you come to the place where I am all you have, you will find that I am all you need. I am more than enough. Sometimes I help people out financially when I should keep my hands out of the pot. Because, see, then they just expect things to be given to them. But if they have to really pray and trust and believe God for that thing, and then God shows up, they'll know it's God. And they won't rely on people. Are you understand this? Just about 2 months ago, I started relying on a person. And I said, God, I'm so sorry. You are my supplier. You are my provider. I'm waiting for you to meet this need. And he did on time. But I found myself getting a little bit excited. And I started thinking, well, could this one do it? Could that one do it? Could I do it this way? Should I take out a loan? And then I'd realize what I was doing. And I said, God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And I said, this is your problem. You're my provider. You're my husband now. So you have to provide. And he did. How may you do that? God is your husband, is he not? He's the head of your household, is he not? Then he's your provider, is he not? He's not natural man, by the way, women. He is God, and he will provide. Exodus chapter 6. Now, God didn't tell me to write this. I just got this one. Exodus chapter 6, verse 9. In this passage, Moses is going to the Hebrew children in Egypt to preach a sermon of hope to them. God says that he is going to lead them out of bondage. This is the stuff that Moses told the people. God commands Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand the people's release. The 10 plagues are about to begin, but the Israelites, upon hearing the words of Moses, hearkened not. In other words, they didn't listen to God in their suffering. They doubted God's plan. How many of you are beginning to doubt God's plan for your life? You're not totally, completely trusting him. Why? Because some troubles have come up. And the troubles get bigger. And so now you're wondering, does God really want me to do this? Don't doubt God's plan. Trust God. He's able to take care of these things. God, however, had said to Moses that he would keep his word. God told Moses he would keep his word. How many of you, when you get a prophetic word, God said, what I have spoken, I shall do. You forget that part. You just hear all the other stuff. And you forget the part where he said, what I have spoken, I shall do. God, however, had said to Moses that he would keep his word, and he gave him confirmation and a reminder in verse 3. Now, these great miracles would be accomplished because he was Jehovah, Yahweh, the I Am, the self-existent one, the everlasting God. What God had spoken was going to be accomplished because he was Jehovah. He was Yahweh, the I Am, the self-existent one, the everlasting God. How many times has God said to you, I am that I am that I am? He's telling you, I'm going to do this thing. And he's not telling you at that point there's going to be a whole lot of resistance in between now and the time I do it. But he's telling you, I am that I am that I am. So that should encourage you to hold on because God is going to do it. So, and as he revealed himself to, as God revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he was the God Almighty, who is El Shaddai, the Almighty Potent, the source of all blessings, the God who is more than enough. When he spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he spoke to him as El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. He would deliver them from Egypt by whatever means necessary, because whatever means that were necessary were not outside his abilities. You know, God's abilities. God can do whatever he told you he's going to do if you trust him and keep your mouth shut, keep your hands out of the pot, and just let God go ahead and work everything out. Jehovah is the I Am. El Shaddai is more than enough. Tonight he is telling us, I am more than enough. He still is the El Shaddai. He still is. And when all this junk comes down the road, he's still El Shaddai. He's not going to change. You can know it. Try him. He's more. You can know that he is El Shaddai. Try him. He's more than enough for, number one, your hunger. Taste him and he will please your spirit. Two, your trials. Test him and he will pass the test. When Elijah called the fire down from heaven, they were testing the El Shaddai and Baal. But El Shaddai was more than enough to pass the test. And you find that story in Judges 6, 36 through 40. Gideon tried him and God passed the test. He passed a smoke test in Daniel chapter 3. He passed a lion test in Daniel chapter 6. He passed a water test in Genesis chapter 6. He passed a prison test in Acts 16. He passed a graveyard test in Matthew 28. He passed a flight test in Acts 1. He passed a test of time across the ages and is not slack concerning his promise because he is more than enough. Amen? He passed all these tests. Some of you don't pass all your tests. That's why you have to go back into first grade again and go all through everything again until you pass. But God, he doesn't have to go back. He passes the test each and every time. All right, the third thing, your family. You can test God in your family. Trust him and he will provide the need. He will provide for your family. When you're in poverty, 2 Kings 4 tells you he'll give you a pot of oil. When you're pleading in 2 Samuel 21, sons of Rispa that were pleading for her children. When you're pressured in Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac, children don't always understand what God is doing, but God will provide a way to demonstrate to them his provisions. You ought to teach your children that God will provide. You know, I don't care if they're serving God or not serving God, still teach them about God, because if you train them up in the ways they should go, eventually they will turn and go that way. Where I'm at, your heartbreak, your heart, number four, your heartbreak, tell him and he will hear your prayers. When you can't fix things yourself, when it's out of your hands, talk to God about these things. When, like Hagar in Genesis 21, you have put things out of your hand and all you can do is weep and call out to God, he will hear your cry. How many of you have done that? I know I have many times. I just God, I can't do anything about this. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And just cry up, just cry to God, you know, and just talk to him about the situation and tell him what I'm going through. Even though he knows, he wants us to come and tell him what we're going through. And he loves to see our tears because he knows that we know that he is our sufficiency. And he knows that we've come to the end of our rope. And now we're saying, here, you take the rope, God, because I've gone as far as I can go. And that's what he's waiting for you to say, I can't do it no more. It's either you or no way. When you're going down in the pit, he will incline unto you. And that's in Psalms 40. Yes, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And this is what David said in Psalm 40:17, and then in Isaiah 59, that's spoken. Yes, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He doesn't forget you when you're poor. You know, all the people that are out there that are poor, God knows you're poor, and God knows you're there, and God is making a way. It might be a simple little way that you don't even understand, but God is making a way in some way, shape, or form. We as true children of God must stop putting limitations on the power of God. He is our sufficiency in all matters of our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. We read that once, we're reading it again. I hope it resonates in your mind, and I hope you lean upon this scripture and understand it. If it wasn't for God, you would be lost, totally lost, and totally undone. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That was Paul. And Paul said that God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, and most gladly therefore were I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul knew that without God he could do absolutely nothing. Some mornings I get up, or sometimes during the night I wake, I can't breathe, and I said, God, you have to breathe for me right now, because if you don't, I'm not going to get out of this bed. And I just thank him for breathing for me, and he does, and you know, and everything comes back into order. But if I was just laying there, say, "Oh well, this is what's supposed to happen." No, I'm supposed to live and not die. You see what I'm saying there? And I know that God can breathe for me. I know He's my sufficiency. I know that He is my all in all. Then God said, "Children, when will you understand that the storehouses in heaven are for you? They are filled to overflowing with all you have need of. What is it that you have need of?" Question to you. What is it that you have need of? Take a few seconds to think about this and then freely receive. Always remember this one thing. My storehouses are not small. They are bigger than any storehouses earth can build. And they have been built to hold all things, all varieties. You can find all you have need of in my storehouses. Do you need diapers for your baby? God, I need diapers for my baby. And I know you have some in your storehouse, so please plump them on my doorstep. Amen. Come on. Do you need peace, healing, truth, long-suffering, confidence, grace, love, finances restored, new car, friends, marriage healed? God said, this list goes on and on. Come and receive from my storehouses of blessings. And quit asking for a husband or wife. Dear Lord, you need to get your own self together before you get married, right? You don't need a woman or man hanging on your armpit. You need you hanging on to God, putting your head against his bosom. And Jeremiah 51:16 says, when he thunders, the waters in the skies roar. God sends clouds all over the earth. God sends lightning with the rain. And God brings out the wind from his storehouses. I just thought that was neat that he has wind in his storehouses. And he brings it out when he needs it. Isn't that awesome? He has everything you need, absolutely everything. And God said, all you have need of are in my storehouses in heaven. Come and shop with me. Come on. Well, if you're so smart, Pastor Barbara, why are you still sick? Because evidently it's just not my time to be healed. but I know I am healed, and I stand on that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm not preaching something that I don't believe, because I know that I know that I know that my God has a storehouse with something, whatever I need in it. And I know that I ask. I really do ask. And he told me I don't ask large enough, so I ask really largely anymore. And I don't mind doing that, because he said, you think too small and you ask too small. So maybe you're thinking too small and asking too small. Maybe there's more that God wants to give you, and you're just not asking large enough. Amen? Come on. The one, I don't know where the scripture's at, but he says, ask for the nations, I'll give them to you. And nations is people. Ask for the nations. And I have that up on my computer, and I pray that every day, that prayer up there, that verse. God, give me the nations. Give me those lost souls right there. We can handle those lost souls. We can speak truth into their lives, and we can set them free, because you've given us all power and all authority. See, you have to do these kind of things. God, remember, God is El Shaddai. He's a God of more than enough. He's everything that you have need of. I get so upset. I really do. I get so upset at people who get saved and get unsaved and then get saved and get unsaved every other month. I get a little bit upset with people come into the house of God and still want to serve the world. They'll take from God, but they still want to serve the world. Then they get mad because things don't go the way they thought they should. God is not going to bless you as long as you're out there messing around. You have to be sold out totally, completely, 100% to God, and then he'll bless you. Some people say, well, you shouldn't say that, you'll drive people away. Well, you were going anyhow. I don't have to drive you anyhow. You're on your way out anyhow. You know, you have to really trust and believe God, right? And you have to be serving him with all of your heart. Because if you're not, the enemy's in there and he's taking you little by little by little. And one day you're going to find yourself out there on the street all alone. And you're going to wonder how you got there. You took your own self there, because God is more than enough. He's the great El Shaddai. He is the I am. I love it when he says to us, I am is here in your midst. I get excited about that. One night I got up out of bed and went out to my computer and sat down, because I just felt like God wanted to say something. He said, thank you for coming and visiting with the I am, your Father. And you know, he didn't say that, but I just felt him in the room, you know, and I just let him sit there and just love on me. He wants to love on you. And you know, he always does that when you're a little bit down. You know, when things are just coming at you, you know, it's faster than you can handle them. And that's what he does with me. Then he'll just woo me with his presence. And I can just feel him, and I just go and sit with him. And by the time we're done, he doesn't say anything, I don't say anything, but I'm all right. He's done the job, because the I am showed up and was I am to me. I love my Father in heaven. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I know I was born special, just like you were born special. And I know I was born with a special anointing. And I know that God has kept me all the days of my life. And I know that's why I didn't get into things other people have gotten into. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard right now to really stay in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That darkness out there is really pressing in on you. And he's trying to get you in doubt and unbelief, and trying to get you in sin, because he's trying to take you out. He wants to take you to heaven so he can torment you for how you tormented him while you were here on this earth. It is hard to stay with God. And I'm not going to say it isn't. The devil comes to visit me all the time anymore, trying to persuade me to leave God and serve him. There's no way I'm going to do that, but that dummy, he doesn't take no for an answer, you know. Just like somebody's going to rape you, whether it's man or woman, you keep saying, no, no, don't do that, and they do it anyhow, right? And that's just where the devil is, because it's a devil in them anyhow. You're saying, nope, 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 but he keeps right on, because he's hoping he can wear you down. But El Shaddai doesn't do that. He's just more than enough. And he doesn't even force you to love him. He doesn't force himself on you. God doesn't do that. That's a choice you make. That's the decision you make. To love him. Not even wanting anything from him. Just loving him because he sent his son so that I don't have to live in hell. I can one day sit in heavenly places. Doesn't matter what we have to go through. He's with us at all times, and he is bringing us through. Now, he's been saying that Next year is going to be the biggest year we've ever had. The body of Christ is going to start in December, and he's going to bring miracle after miracle after miracle. Now, won't you feel really bad if the miracles start, and here you are standing on the other side of the fence? Or like he said, on the riverbank, you gave up right before the miracles started flowing. But why would you even say, well, I'm not going to give up because I want to be in the miracles? Why would you even say that? God, I'm not going to give up just because I love you. You know, Aaron and Adam, God, you pulled you out of the miry clay, didn't he? And look what he's done with the both of you. He set you on a solid rock, and I watch you too, and you've turned into wonderful men of God. And when I watch you, I just see God all through you. And, you know, and I'm proud of you both. I really am. And, you know, and when God said this is a time when the last was going to be first, the first is going to be last, I'm watching that happen right here in this church. Just like with Adam and Aaron. They came in and others were over them, you know, already here is what I'm trying to say. And those other ones aren't near as far with God as what those two are. I hope I'm not embarrassing you two, but I have to use an example here. I don't want to be last. I want to stay first with God. I don't want somebody else taking my mantle. I want to go ahead and do the works God's having me to do. It doesn't matter how much the enemy pushes on me. I'm going to push back on him because he's already tried to destroy me too many times in my lifetime. He hasn't succeeded then, and he's not going to succeed now. Are you listening? You know, everybody said, my kids said, well, you're 83 and you boom. And, well, it doesn't matter what your age is. I was reading about a 96-year-old woman who's out there, you know, lifting weights and running marathons. So, come on, don't tell me 83 is anything. Are you listening? You're only as old as you think you are anyhow. I haven't grown up yet. I don't plan on growing up. I like God too much. And I know that's probably why he gives me all these young kids to raise, because they keep me young. Believe me, they do keep me young. Somebody said to me Sunday, can I help you up? I said, no, I can get up on my own. They said, well, I'm used to having to help my mother up. I said, well, I'm not your mother. And you know, I can get up and down off a chair all by myself. And I intend to always do that, right? Come on. So, you know, you have to make up your mind where you stand with God. You have to make up your mind whether you're in or you're out. And I'm hoping that all you're planning on being in and not out. Who is he? El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. It doesn't matter how many furnaces we have to go through. God is always in the furnace with us. It doesn't matter what our children are going through. God is always with us. It doesn't matter what's happening in the church. God is always with us. And he will uphold you. He'll uphold you in the strong right arm. And he won't let you fall. He really won't. I know he loves to cuddle. And he will cuddle you if you let him. I don't care if you're male or female. He will cuddle you, and he will love on you, and he will strengthen you, and he will bring you through that furnace of affliction if you allow him to. How many of you have heard that song, I Have Seen the I Am? It's a beautiful song. I'm going to play it tonight just because God just laid upon my heart to do so this afternoon. But what God wants you to do in the altar call is to come up. Let him anoint you. If you think he's more than enough, only if you think he's more than enough, and if you're serving him 100% with all your heart, he wants to give you a special anointing to stay the course, knowing that he is able. He brought you this far, and he's not going to drop you, and he's able to take you all through your journey. All right? So if you are really following God, and if you really understand that he is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, that he is the great I am, then God wants to give you a special anointing of strength to go through and not lose out.